You're listening to KC Radio 97.7 FM, the sounds of the southeast, and your program is Women of Today. We have a lovely gentleman by the name of Adrian Glubert, who's the president of the Gilbert and Sullivan Society, on the phone. Adrian, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you very much for calling in.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Now, I believe you're up in the country at the moment. Is that right?
I am, actually. I'm, just to be correct, I'm not the president, but I'm the director of the upcoming production that we're doing.
Thank you very much.
No worries. So I'm currently in Denali, which is where we're doing our regional production of our show.
Now, I believe you do this on a semi-regular basis. It's quite a frequent area that you visit.
I believe we have done some productions here before, and it's definitely a hub for an art centre for quite a few Gilbert and Sullivan shows, as well as other productions. It's definitely a frequent membership for people to come out and see some cultural events and some arts out here.
Oh, that's fantastic. Adrian, can you tell us a little bit about the Gilbert and Sullivan Society, its origins, how long it's been running? Do you have any background on that?
Of course. So, look, the Gilbert and Sullivan Society is in its 80th year based in Blackburn. And, we've been doing productions for the last 80 years. So we wanted to go on for another 80 years. So we're definitely just pushing it out and pushing some boundaries and really getting it out there.
And you actually do a lot of productions that perhaps people haven't heard of or heard of for a long period of time. So you're really touching on the those stronger artistic creative productions and putting it out there for the community who are receiving it very well.
Yeah, look, we certainly, with the society, look at doing well-known productions. You'll certainly continue to see Mikado's and Pirates of Penzance and Pinafore, Patience, all those kinds of well-known Gilbert and Sullivan works. But we're also, leaping forward and we're doing some other things. So this is the first time it's a premiere of our upcoming production of the Contrabandista, which is a Sullivan work. So it's not Gilbert and Sullivan. It's a Sullivan work, which he did when he was about 25 years old. So that's something that's never been done prior in Australia. So we've certainly, take a few, new challenges and really opening new doors, as well as we've done it as a double bill with Cavalleria Rusticana, which is obviously not a Gilbert and Sullivan work, it's Mascagni, but it certainly goes and fits well with the Contrabandista as a double bill partner.
And when you and I were chatting yesterday, you spoke about there's some link with, tie to women, and given that this is a women's program.
Yeah, look, with this current production, which you don't generally find, is there are certainly very different roles of women through both productions. So, just talking about the Contrabandista, just a little bit of background about the show. We meet a group of land pirates, as opposed to, in Pirates of Penzance, they're on the water, and, there's these land pirates that have abducted Rita, who is our heroine, and she, for the role of Rita, it's all about finding herself, she doesn't know whether her lover will come back and save her. She's trying to explore herself and her independence, and she really becomes, from the start of that opera to the end, she certainly, we see a journey through her progress. We also have the role of Inez de Roxas, which is, she would be the queen or she's the leader. And she's a very strong-willed, very, powerful woman. And she leads the brigade. And then we look at, obviously, in Cavalleria Rusticana, which is our second work, we have a whole different, we've got certainly different roles. We have just an introduction to that one is Turidor, who's our lead tenor. He's gone away to war, and he's previously been engaged to a woman named Lola, and he comes back from war and finds that Lola is actually married to Alfio. So We see that, the role of the woman there, as well as another role, Santuzza, who is, you know, he's gone away, but he's also, prior has had an affair with Santuzza, and he comes back and she's pregnant. She's actually pregnant, and there's a bit of a love triangle there. And so we see in the role of Santuzza, how she, you know, she's carrying a baby and her development, and she's been betrayed and she's been hurt and she's been excommunicated from the church, and we see her development as well. So in both shows we see a whole lot of range of women and how they treat the situation, and it's incredible to see each, you know, each role develop.
And just out of interest, in terms of the way that the women do respond, what did you get out of that, seeing that production?
Well, funnily enough, it's a great question. One of our roles, Santuzza, the one who's playing the pregnant, she's pregnant. One of our Santuzzas, we have double cast quite a few of our leading roles, and Santuzza is actually pregnant. One of our Santuzzas, whose name is Lydia, she's 7 months pregnant, and when I, you know, when we first auditioned her, she was only about 2 or 3 months pregnant. And just her development through this process has been an incredible one. Obviously singing with a baby, you know, coming along, and the breathing changes, the support changes, the emotions change. It's been an incredible journey for me as a director. I've never really worked with someone who's, you know, pregnant, prior to performance, and to see her development, as well. She really obviously feels that character now, because it's really happening to her, as in, you know, having a baby. But also, you know, through other people's, you know, even through Rita's development. And for me, it's so important to relay the message to the audience of how that performer is feeling, how they, you know, how they're emoting on stage, and getting that message across. It's all about telling a story. For me, you know, it's one thing to have a great voice, but to actually really move an audience and tell their story is, you know, the really, you know, for me, really important to express on stage.
And what about the musical content within the
of course. So we've actually got an incredible musical director who's really getting a huge amount out of our performers. His name's Timothy Wilson, as well as on piano our repetitor, David Barnard, who through that team were able to get the most out of, obviously, the music and the underlying music, which really represents the action on the stage. I mean, you listen to the music, and the natural progression should be, you know, that you can hear the music, and that the message is also being sent through the acting and the singing. So they all need
really
to match up.
Exactly right, and what a great thing when it does.
Exactly right, 100%.
We need to take a very quick break. Could you stay with us? We need
of course.
To meet our important sponsors, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the production, when and where it is, and also just to talk a little bit about yourself.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to KC Radio 97.7 FM, The Sounds of the Southeast, and we're speaking with Adrian Glaubert from the Gilbert and Sullivan Society about two fabulous productions that are they together? Is that right, Adrian? Are they?
That's right. It's a double bill. So both are short works. They're both about an hour and 5 minutes to an hour and 10 minutes each. So it's about 2.5 hours, including an interval.
Oh, that's intermission. And how fantastic is that? Sounds like a fabulous production. Now, when and where is it being held, Adrian?
Absolutely. So the performance is taking place at the Knox Community Arts Centre in Bayswater. And there, the dates of those are July 16th, 17th and July 18th are at 8 p.m. and the 18th and 19th of July at 2 p.m. So we've got 5 shows at the Knox Community Arts Centre.
And I think you can get more details on the gilbertandsullivan.org.au website.
That's correct. So www.gilbertandsullivan.org.au, as well as we have a try booking website where you can book your tickets. And that's at trybooking.com/138171.
Fantastic. The tickets are not expensive. $35 for adults, $29 for concession, and there's also a further discount of $17.50 for school-aged children. And the thing
That's
is,
correct.
Groups of 20 or more, it's $29 per ticket. So if you get your friends together to come along, it brings the cost down quite considerably. So, you know, a very affordable event, a very affordable performance, something that I think people will really come away quite energised and uplifted. And it sounds absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. And what's, I guess, really interesting about both works with the Contrabandista, it's got a very much a fairy tale ending. So they both have love triangles. They both center around, you know, the action and on stage. But, you know, the Contrabandista's got this fairy tale, light-hearted, you know, with beautiful Spanish setting and dancing as well. So we've got some, you know, some wonderful dances as well with the choreography of Sarah Cossey, and just some really beautiful dancing. And then obviously in the Cavalleria, people who know the Cavalleria Rusticana obviously has the ultimate ending. You know, there's definitely bring your tissues, and it's quite a dramatic work, and you're sure to see some, you know, there's this betrayal and love and lust and just all these incredible themes. It's a very dramatic work.
Piece for the eyes and the ears. But how interesting, exactly. Adrian, after all these years, because this would have been set back, written many years ago, human nature hasn't changed.
Exactly right. And what's incredible about this work is it certainly fits into today. Nothing really changes. It's themes of exactly right of today, and it's very human emotion, and we make it as realistic and you know, it's got to be as real on stage. And these themes are so prominent even today.
Mm.
They don't get old.
No, they don't date at all. It's just... Yeah.
No.
I was going to also could ask a little bit about you. We'll mention the details of the event again at the end of the interview, but I wondered if you could give us a little bit about your background, because I'd imagine you've had quite a history of involvement with the Gilbert and Sullivan Society, maybe elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'll tell you a little bit about me. I studied at the Victorian College of the Arts as a singer, so as an operatic singer. I'm a tenor, and I got my master's in Canada. So I went to Vancouver, Canada, where I got my master's of music in specialising in opera. In that time, I also did some directing courses at the university, and was able to do some directing while I was in Canada. So some Gilbert and Sullivan, some operatic works, including Rigoletto, also a few other works as well, while I was there. Now, in that time, I was also hired, and I worked professionally with the Vancouver Opera Company for 8 years. And I was able to travel through Czech Republic, China, America, as a singer. I came back in July 2011, and previous to that, I had been back a few times, and I worked as a singer with the Gilbert and Sullivan Society. So I did trial by jury as the defendant. I also did a recent production, USS Pinafore, where I played the role of Rack. So that was done actually with a Star Trek, Star Wars theme. So it was slightly different to the original HMS Pinafore.
And
I also did Princess
too,
Ida.
Mix it up. Sorry? A bit. That would be fun to mix it up a bit.
Absolutely, it was actually a lot of fun. I played the role of Spock, so I had the big ears and the big eyebrows, and it was very, very different. Had its own challenges, but I had done HMS Pinafore, and it was a really good change. Even the words were very different, but that was quite a wonderful production. And I have a real soft spot for the Gilbert and Sullivan Society, and that's why I've continued on. I just feel like it's a great avenue to foster young talent. There's so much experience in there. So in our cast, we have a real range of performers. We have, you know, some young people who are graduating university, generally in music. Then we have our experienced performers. We have Andrew McGrail, who's been around with the society for some time in the role of Griggs. There's Jenny Wakefield, who is certainly known in the community, and who's, you know, with experience and really teaching these young performers before they go into Melbourne Opera, Victorian Opera, or even Opera Australia. It's a real platform for these young performers to get a break, and that's what I have a real invested interest in, is really fostering these young performers with certain skills of acting and performing. A voice doesn't get by anymore. You can't just stand and sing. It's all about emoting and getting the audience into it. So that's my job as a director, as opposed to a singer. So it's a very different role than I'm normally taking as a singer, is the directing part. So I have a real passion in both avenues.
Well, you've got a wealth of experience, so you can, and in many facets of the opera, that you can pass on to others to help them. So as director, even though it's a different role, you've just got so much to draw upon.
Exactly, and because I have come from the singing and the performing avenue, it certainly has helped me in directing, because I know what a singer goes through, and I know what it takes to become a singer or to sing on the stage, and then I draw upon that in my directing for sure.
I wondered if you would indulge me with allowing me to ask you 10 very personal questions. Well, not too personal.
Depends how personal.
No, it's very palatable for radio. This is a family program.
Of course.
Thank you so much. We'll start with asking who your favourite actor or actress is.
Oh, that's a good one. In the movies or on stage? Yes,
yeah, doesn't matter. No, either.
Oh. Can't get by someone like Mila Kunis is quite a good actress. I love some of the older actors. You can learn a lot of things from some of the older actors. I probably Mila or Tom Hanks is an excellent actor as well.
There's so many good actors.
Many good ones
to choose from. It's really putting you on the spot, given that you've got such a
Washington. I'm going to go with Denzel Washington.
Yeah, he is rather.
He's strong. I love strong actors.
The girls are nodding here in the studio.
Yes.
And now moving on to your love of music, who would be your favourite band, artist, or classical performer?
Yeah, okay. I there's a few. I was just having this conversation earlier this morning. I regret not seeing Pavarotti live. I had an opportunity to see Pavarotti live. So that's something that I would have loved to see. Also, I've listened and learned a lot from Björling, from old singers like Björling, Joan Sutherland. I got to work with Joan's husband, Richard Bonning, in Canada, also in Australia, and he's mostly a conductor, but he's also an educator, and I learned a lot from him as a musician. So in the classical realm, that they're probably who I listen to, or Vargas. There's quite a few great singers out there. I also listen to musical theatre. I can't lie. I listen to musical theatre, and that's another. There's a few musicals that I listen to. I don't, unfortunately, go out to see a lot of bands.
Well, you probably don't have time.
I don't. That's right.
And I'd say your interests are in slightly a different genre than perhaps just the populist music.
Exactly. I definitely go see a lot more classical productions than I do to some of the newer stuff that's out.
That's terrific. Now, we're running a little short of time, but we'll skip through these if we can. Your favourite sport or recreational activity?
Ooh, sport or recreation. I love watching the football. I'm an AFL junkie. I follow Collingwood. I hope people still listen in.
Those that love Collingwood will. No
problem. And everyone else will tune out now. Thank you. But I do have all my teeth, so that's the good
news. Hilarious. Your favourite book or author?
I used to read a lot of John Grisham. That was, certainly growing up. But now I read a lot of biographies on performers, conductors, and also people who have done very well in their jobs or in their careers. I'm a national sales manager, as a profession, as well as directing in my musical traits. So that's certainly what I read now.
Terrific. Your favourite food?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a good one. I'm very much in probably Chinese. I'll go with Chinese or Japanese.
Yeah, we're definitely having a swing back to Chinese. You know how Chinese sort of was the flavour of the month, or the century.
Yes.
And then lots of other takeaways and restaurants popped up, but people are coming back to Chinese because you can't beat it. It's beautiful.
You can't beat it. It's true. I was in that industry for quite some time, so I switched to Mexican. Depends on what day you ask me.
If you could have dinner with one person, who would it be?
Dead or alive?
Oh, either.
I would say, probably my late grandfather. He died when I was quite young. He went through the Holocaust, and he was a cantor, and he had an incredible voice, which I only heard. I never heard live, and I would have loved to meet him and properly and hear him as well.
Clearly, he's passed on a lot of his gifts to yourself, Adrian. So
himself and my grandmother, my late grandmother, yeah, exactly.
If you could change one thing in this world, what would it be?
Oh, there's too many things. I would love to see more funding go to music in Australia. That's a huge thing for me. I don't feel like we put a lot of money into sport, and I'd love to see the arts being looked after and young development of artists. You know, more money into universities to educate musicians. That would be where I would love to change Australia.
We certainly are working one municipality at a time, because here in Casey, I'm a council with the City of Casey Council.
And we've
done a lot of work for the arts in our area, and we try and balance it out with, you know, the need for visual and performing arts as well as sports. And we actually have a rehearsal centre called The Factory. And it is packed solid. We could even do to build another one. If we had the money, we would. So
exactly right.
Amazing stuff that we're doing here. I'm just going to wrap up now, Adrian, and say, who is your woman of today? Someone who has or does inspire you?
Today? That's from today?
Here or past?
Yeah. Someone like Princess Diana. Princess Diana is a big one, I would say. Gave a lot of money to charity and was certainly a leader and someone to look up to, for sure.
She'll never be forgotten, that's for sure.
100%.
Now, just we're on a strict deadline now. Just if you could tell us when and where the wonderful production will be heard.
Of course. Go through that again. July 16th, 17th and 18th at 8 p.m. That's of July at the Knox Community Arts Centre, Mountain Highway in Bayswater. And we've got two matinees on July 18th and 19th at 2 p.m. And tickets can be purchased either at www.gilbertandsullivan.org.au or at trybooking.com/138171.
Absolutely brilliant, Adrian. Thank you so much for being on the Women of Today program. All the best with your wonderful production. I hope it goes swimmingly, and I know it will.
Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Adrian.